Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. You've got the H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on those dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or the third row seating gets your whole family in to experience the thrill together. The dual wireless charging pads make sure that no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead cell phone. Think about those adventurous activities you can do, like me, taking a ski trip up with the family, maybe going on a camping expedition, anything and everything. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hey there. Gary Parrish, welcome back to the CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball Podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting, dodo birds, and leaky black. Matt Norlander is here with me. If you're watching on YouTube, please go ahead and smash the like button like you're Brandon Davies. You have consent. And if you haven't yet subscribed to the YouTube channel, please knock that out while you're here. Let's get into it. Texas was tested Thursday night for the first time since the Longhorns smoked Gonzaga 2 weeks ago. The Creighton Blue Jays visited the Moody Center. It's a top 10 matchup. Final score, Texas 72, Creighton 67. It's a competitive game, but Texas did lead the entire second half and by as many as 11 points at one point to improve to 6-0 on the season. So Chris Beard's Longhorns are now 6-0 with wins over Gonzaga and Creighton. They remain number one in my top 25 and one. Deadleg, what's your main takeaway from Texas over Creighton on Thursday night?
I think my main takeaway, and we'll talk Zona, Utah in a minute here, but they have a thread that ties them together, and it's that both teams were done in by just anemic shooting from three-point range. Not the sole reason, but a major factor in that. Creighton specifically didn't make it was 4 of 27 from three-point range, didn't make a second three until deep into the second half. And a little bit of a weird game in that I watched the whole thing, but I wanted to watch it from start to finish and try and get the young ones down there. So I had it on pause delay. So I was catching up until I got to the second half. So when I started it, it's probably around 7:20, 7:25. And I thought, damn, like, you know, this is an incredible start. They must have changed leads like four times in the first 4 minutes, GP, and just a great, great start of a game. The end result, the final score didn't reflect that. It got a little bit bumpy thereafter. Creighton was kind of constantly playing catch up. Marcus Carr, I thought, was certainly key. He had a couple of foul shots late in the final 10 seconds that basically clinched the win. He had 19 points. He's really come along quite well, which has been great to see. But Texas won. I thought it was big that they won despite Carr and Hunter combining to shoot, 14 to 35 from the field. And just it's a good win for Texas. Creighton almost was able to steal it. You know, they've lost back-to-back games against top 15 competition, understandably so, away from home, losing the title game in Maui and then having to go down to Austin there. But Creighton just not having the shooting it normally would. I thought if it had a normal night, it would have been able to steal it, but it didn't. No huge reason to be concerned about the Jays just yet or anything like that. This is way more about Texas, and Texas has also not yet played a game outside of its state, played a game outside of really cozy confines. That will change Tuesday when Texas has to play in the Jimmy V against a very good Illinois team.
I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not saying this is true, but what if we find out that Arizona and Creighton can only shoot in Maui?
Wouldn't that be the plot? Quite the plot development. Hey, listen, one game in, one sample size. Certainly that's part of it. Creighton was just, it was, you know, sometimes you just have those games, and it's certainly credit to the environment and Texas's defense, but sometimes it is just, it's luck swinging one way or the other. And I'm not going to say with 100% confidence, I'll say it with 95% confidence, Creighton's not going to have another game where if it takes at least 25 three-pointers, it makes four or fewer. That was strangely bad for them. And yet despite all that, they really almost came back and stole it at the end.
Yeah, Creighton, 4 of 27 from 3. Baylor Shireman, former Jackrabbit, 3 of 13 from beyond the arc. So some of that was Texas, sure. But if you watch the game, you know a lot of it was Creighton just missing shots that Creighton made in Maui. They were missing them inside the Moody Center. I'm with you. That's a good shooting team. And what they did Thursday night at the Moody Center from beyond the arc is not probably not something that they'll ever do again. Texas, by the way, is now up to 13th in adjusted offensive efficiency and 3rd in adjusted defensive efficiency, according to KenPom. It's an early episode trivia time.
Oh boy, here we go. I got one coming for you later, but lay it on me.
Only two other teams in the country are top 15 in both adjusted offense and adjusted defense, according to KenPom. I just told you, Texas is one. Two other teams are both in the top 15 of both categories. Can you name them?
I don't know. Let's see if I can get two and three guesses here. I don't have KenPom up. Don't know. I will. Houston is my first guess.
Houston is not an accurate answer.
Illinois has been pretty damn good to start the season. Illinois is another guess.
Illinois, much to the dismay of Tom Fornelli, is not an accurate answer.
Got to say, UConn's been awesome. Huskies, give it to me.
UConn has been awesome. UConn is one of them. UConn is 9th in offense, 8th in defense. UConn is actually the only team that's top 10 in both right now.
Then who would the other one be? I'm trying to scan through the undefeated teams that this would qualify with. It is an undefeated team.
I'll give you a hint.
Give me a time zone.
Over the years.
Unless your hint is better than the time zone.
I think my hint's better than time zone. In recent years, this school is in a state that has endured internet problems, but seems to be operating. The internet seems to be blazing in this state right now.
Is it really the damn Indiana Hoosiers right now?
It's the damn Indiana Hoosiers. Indiana's 12th in offense, 11th in defense, according to KenPom. Those are the only three teams top 15 in both Texas, UConn, and my Indiana Hoosiers.
How about that? Good for the friggin' Hoosiers. By the way, ACC Big Ten Challenge is obviously ending, as we mentioned on a previous pod.
Rest in peace. This
Texas Creighton deal was the fourth year of the Big 12 Big East battle. Not quite as ballyhooed, but still, there are at least another two seasons of this. And this actually works out pretty well. I actually think it's a pretty good series that splits networks. This Creighton, Texas was on ESPN, and then Fox Sports 1 gets the games when a Big East team hosts. And so a nice interconference thing that will run alongside ACC, SEC moving forward there. Nice win for Texas. And quick question for you on this. I don't know where you had Texas in your. Oh, you know what? I did want to bring that up. Let's see if I can bring this up. You know what? I think I can. I forgot to do this on the final episode of the preseason. But do I have this here? Because what I wanted to read you aloud your top 25 and one, as I did a year ago. You may or may not remember this, but your top 25 and one at the start of the offseason. Where every team ranked. I guess if I can find the document there. But before I get to that, Texas preseason, I don't know if you have a vague idea. How much have they jumped in your rankings overall since, say, November 5th, November 6th?
I do not remember. I don't even want to be wrong about it. I do not remember where I had Texas in the preseason. But I can tell you right now, I've got Texas at number one.
Okay. Do you think that Texas is the best team? Or it has the best resume right now? Or are those one and the same for you?
They don't have the best resume. Purdue's got the best resume. That seems pretty obvious to me. Purdue has, I think, 4 wins over teams I also have ranked in the top 25 and one. They have 4 wins over top 35 KenPom teams. That leads the country. Purdue's got the best resume. I don't know that Texas is the best team in the country, if I'm being completely honest. But here's what I do think is a reasonable thing to say. That you could reasonably, right now, in this moment, if you were into ranking basketball teams, have Texas, Houston, Purdue, Virginia, UConn, or Indiana. You could have six different teams reasonably ranked number one right now.
How good is that? How good of a commentary is that on the sport right now? That we're, you know, we're approaching the fourth week of the season, and we have that many teams that are just in the conversation and could have a viable state to that. I don't know.
Like if you're an AP voter and you had to turn in a ballot at right now, you could have any of those teams ranked number one, and there's nothing anybody can say to you rooted in the idea that your ballot is ridiculous. You know, the only one of that group that doesn't have like a big signature win is Houston. But you know, that's just schedule related. Obviously Houston is undefeated and obliterating, you know, pretty much everybody. And Houston did schedule a game at Oregon that was supposed to be an opportunity for a big signature win. We just sort of found out Oregon is not as good as most anticipated. But yeah, you know, those are the top six in the top 25 and one right now. And I've got them in this order: Texas, Houston, Purdue, Virginia, UConn, Indiana. But you could, I think, reasonably take those six teams, put them in literally any order, and you're fine.
That's good stuff. I can't find your first edition. It's somewhere buried in a Google Doc, just a different one. I'll try and get that moving forward, because I just wanted to look at just how much has changed from the initial one. There's going to be some minor changes, some major changes, but it's always fun to look back. But I don't have that. I don't have that right off the top there. Texas, I thought, was the biggest winner from Thursday night. But if there's a close number two, GP, it's got to be Utah, right?
Yeah, but one last thing though on Texas, because I think
I was just trying to throw it right in for you. Might be.
And it's all good. I think Texas has not a perfect roster configuration relative to this era of college basketball, but like one that I think is perhaps the blueprint to flourishing in this era of college basketball with name, image, and likeness and the one-time transfer waiver. If you look at Texas's top eight scores, it's literally six transfers and two five-star freshmen. It's Tyrese Hunter, a transfer from Iowa State, Marcus Carr, a transfer from Minnesota, Sir Jabari Rice, transfer from New Mexico State, Dylan Dessou, transfer from Vanderbilt, Dylan Mitchell, five-star freshman, Timmy Allen, transfer from Utah, Arterio Morris, five-star freshman, Christian Bishop, transfer from Creighton. Top eight scores, six of them are transfers, two of them are five-star freshmen. All of them are either in their first season or second season at Texas. And I really do think that that is more or less the best way to build a college basketball team in this era: transfers and impactful freshmen. And if you look at Texas's 2023 recruiting class right now, they got two prospects signed: Ron Hall and A.J. Johnson, two five-star high school recruits, both top 15 prospects. Take them, bring back what you can, add what you need via the transfer portal with NIL being a lure, and be great again. Like, that's a recipe that works. And I think, I don't want to say Chris Beard has figured this out before anybody else, because other coaches have figured this out, but that's the way to do it. Transfers and impactful freshmen. You don't need anybody else.
That was one of the central themes to the story I did on Florida and Todd Golden over the summer, and one of his recruiting philosophies as he tries to get it going there at Florida. GP, I gotta say, if Texas wasn't the biggest winner on Thursday night, I mean, or if it was, Utah had to be a close number two, right?
Arizona took its first loss of the season Thursday night, but Arizona did it the best way possible. I'll tell you how in a moment. First, though, word from our partners.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So Arizona played at Utah on Thursday night. It didn't go well. Final score, Utah 81, Arizona 66. So the fourth-ranked Wildcats and the Maui Invitational champions are now 6-1 with a loss to a Utah team that entered the game ranked outside of the top 60 at KenPom, and a Utah team that had previously lost to Sam Houston State. Listen, nobody likes to lose, especially on the road to an unranked team when you're undefeated and ranked fourth in the AP poll. But if you have to lose, this is exactly the way to do it. If you have to lose, you should lose on the Pac-12 network, because then nobody will see it. And okay. So it's kind of like it didn't even really happen. Like, Deadleg, I know the box score says Arizona lost, but I can't tell you for certain it happened. I didn't see it. I don't think anybody else did either.
I can report that I did watch it. I do get the Pac-12 network.
No,
I
don't get that. Nobody gets the Pac-12 network.
I've got some issues with some other channels. We'll get to that in just a few here. But I do. I'm sorry to report. I'm one of 15, maybe 20. I know you're having issues with it, and you continue to have issues with it.
I went and double checked this last night. My most recent DirecTV bill is $353.22.
Okay, stop bragging.
And I cannot get the Pac-12 network. I called DirecTV and I said, "Give me everything you got. Give me everything you got." And I can't get the Pac-12 network. It's like Bigfoot, the Pac-12 network. Like, people say they've seen it, but nobody can prove it.
I might have to FaceTime you. I might. If there's another key game here on the P12N, as they call it, but out there in the Bay Area, I might just have you watch it that
when
way.
When you get a FaceTime from somebody that's not your wife, does it make you nervous? I get nervous.
Good question. How often? That's not okay. So my most common FaceTime. First of all, wife and I only ever FaceTime if one of us is on a work trip. That's the only time that ever happens. I'm overwhelmingly, let's break this down real quick. This is a college basketball podcast, so after all, let's talk about FaceTime.
Kinda.
What would you say is your ratio of phone call to FaceTime? I would say I am probably 95-5 phone call over FaceTime. I am not a FaceTime dude that much. What about you?
Yes, something like that. I mean, 20-1, something. Yeah. I mean, it's.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I get FaceTimes from my wife,
yes.
From my parents who want to FaceTime with their grandkids.
Correct. That's by far the most popular FaceTime situation I'm encountering.
And that's about it. But every once in a while, I'll get, and I never know if it's an accident or not, because I refuse to answer them. I get nervous. I'll get just like a random name pop up on my phone, and it's like FaceTime. And I'm like, what is this person? What is going on here? And then I just hide. I put my phone over there. I hide from
it. You throw your phone against the couch and you run into another room.
Yeah. I kneel down. I'm like, I don't want to accidentally answer this. Then I'm face to face with somebody. I don't want to just be abruptly face to face with somebody. That's nerve wracking.
If I get every so often I'll get one from one of my brothers. And then if I get a buddy, and this will happen maybe once or twice a year, if I see a buddy is FaceTiming me, there's something ridiculous that's happening. Like, I get a little excited. Like, what's going on? Like, what idiocy are you getting into that you need to be FaceTiming me? And that's usually the case there.
I'll tell you after the podcast, I got one at some point over the past couple of years from a college basketball coach. And the name popped up, and it was like, if it was just the name, like a phone call, I would have answered in a second. But it was a FaceTime, and I think it was probably an accident. I've never clarified. But I was like, there is no scenario where I'm answering this FaceTime right now. Because if it is an accident, it's kind of weird. You got to have that, I didn't mean to FaceTime me thing. And if it's not an accident, well, then that, I was just nervous. I just didn't want to, I just couldn't do it. I hid from my phone.
Okay, fair enough. Well, nice little FaceTime corner here. Arizona loses on the road, was averaging 97.5 points going into this game. Scored 66, shot 4 of 28 from three-point range, so similarly terrible from three-point range, just as Creighton was, both those teams on the road. And then its backcourt didn't play well. You know, shot 5 of 27 overall, only had 17 points. Arizona is, I don't know if it's the only team. I didn't look through every schedule before the pod here. It's played more games away from its home arena to this point than at it. And we are, you know, it's December 2nd here. That will actually be true through the end of next weekend because Arizona's got a home game and then it's got a neutral against those Indiana Hoosiers there. I don't know this to be true 100%. I would imagine that Arizona is going to be the only team in the sport at the high major level to have played more games away from its home venue than not through the first month plus of the season. Now, eventually that will swing back. They've got 3-4 bye games before they get to Christmas. But all things considered, if you're an Arizona fan, you're taking this unquestionably. 6-1 to this point, you get the Maui championship, and then you just have an off night. I pick Utah 8th in the Pac-12 in the preseason. You had it 11th. It's still early. Hopes obviously surfacing after a win like this that the Utes can be a top half of the league kind of team. And the win basically cancels out that home loss against Sam Houston State, but Sam Houston State also has to win to Oklahoma. It's a top 100 team in predictive metrics as of today, so it's actually not a terrible loss at this point, but getting this kind of victory certainly helps ease the damage from that. I do have a trivia time for you here. I noted on Twitter late Thursday night that it was the 10-year anniversary of actually the passing of Rick Majerus, which, by the way, I actually remember remember that news happening and having to write the headline for .com. Parrish, this is one of those examples for me. If you would have asked me 3 days ago, like, how long has it been since Rick Majerus passed? I honestly probably would have said, I think it's been like 7 years. I cannot believe it has been 10 years since that man died. That is unreal to me that it's already been 10 years.
I saw your tweet, and I thought the exact same thing. I was like, 10 years? Rick's been dead for 10 years? Because if you'd asked the same thing, you'd ask me 3 days ago, how long has Rick Majerus been gone? I'd have said, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, probably, something like that.
Crazy, right?
Time flies, doesn't it?
It was one of those where, I don't know, occasionally you'll see something like that. The way our minds perceive the concept of time is wild to me sometimes. And that's a perfect example where I'm like, damn, 10 years. So Utah, on the 10-year anniversary of Majerus' passing, obviously former great coach there, gets the win. Here's the trivia time.
Okay.
Where's Arizona ranked right now?
In what?
In basketball, like in the AP poll. I was just trying to say, Arizona's top five.
I think Arizona was fourth in the AP poll. They were fourth in my top 25 and one. I dropped them to 13th this morning.
The last time that Arizona was able to get a win of this level and beat a team ranked inside the top five, none other than Rick Majerus was the coach. 2002.
Okay. I'm familiar with
what
that
team.
Year.
What team do you think they beat when they last did that?
Stanford.
My man. Look at you.
Did I get that?
Great call. Right away.
Let's raise a glass to me.
Great job, GP. Great job. That's the trivia time there. Good on the Utes. We'll see what they can develop into. RIP Rick Majerus.
How did I get that?
You're just feeling it here on a Friday morning.
Stanford just came out of my mouth.
It did. Good job. That's all I got for you.
Do you think there's anything to like a Maui hangover? I believe John Calipari has said, now keep in mind, Kentucky's on like the other side of the country. But John Calipari has said, I will not take my team to Maui is just too much on. It's too far and it's too much. By the way, he's going to London.
I know. Come on,
London's
man.
Actually close. Is London's it closer? Is. Yeah, it's than Maui.
Oh, let me do that. You talk it out. I'm as the crow flying this right now.
Yeah, I would assume Lexington is closer to London than it is Maui. So maybe his point still stands, but it was hard not to notice. Just notice that Creighton and Arizona both came back to the continental United States and took losses and really, really shot the ball poorly. Like you said, Arizona entered the game averaging 97.5 points, only scored 66 at Utah, shot 35.2% from the field, 14.3% from three. They'll get right this weekend, I would assume, because next up for Arizona is a home game against Cal. That's on Sunday. Cal, of course, is 0-8 with three double-digit losses. So that should be an easy/lopsided Arizona victory. And then after that, the Wildcats going to go to Las Vegas, you mentioned this, and play Indiana next weekend. Indiana, again, undefeated, coming off a big win over North Carolina. How far is London from Lexington?
Stunner.
You're stunned.
Stunner. How far do you think it is as the crow flies to Maui from Lexington? Give me a mileage.
45 miles.
Come on, man. Give me an actual guess.
The only thing I know is...
Just guess a number. Higher than 45, higher than 300. Don't say 301. Okay.
We're doing miles from Lexington to London.
No, to Maui first, as the crow flies. Which, by the way, there's no crow flying from damn Lexington to Maui, but you get the point.
I'm going to say it's 4,000 miles.
My friend.
I don't have any concept of miles.
Hey, what listen. What do you want me to do? Is your 4,000, is that your Maui or your London guess?
Both. I'm guessing that.
Which one?
I think Maui is 4,000 miles from Lexington. I have no idea.
I would have said that. Dude, it's 4,005 miles to London.
Okay.
It's only 2,172 miles to Maui. Maui is significantly closer.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
But you know what? London, England, it's sneaky north. Like, if you ever really look at that map, it's up there. It's up there. Latitude-wise, high latitude.
It's basically the North Pole. That's what people say about London sometimes. It's basically the North Pole. It's the North Pole of the United Kingdom.
Yeah, latitude situation there. How about that, though? Impressive. Couple quick notes before we get to the Final Four and One. UNC lost, of course, Wednesday night. We'll get to that in the Final Four and One. They lost at IU. Duke 7-2 after a composed 81-72 win Wednesday night over Ohio State. Good win. Miami held serve to beat Rutgers on Wednesday night. Canes are now 7-1. We're the final team to crack the debut edition of my Hey 19 power rankings. Jim Larranaga kind of quietly getting it done. We'll see. Kansas won easily, 91-65 over Seton Hall. That's a small but encouraging sign for KU fans. Just looking to see this main team maintain its, you know, top 10 reputation. UConn won again. I have UConn in the top five of my power rankings. Beat Oklahoma State on Thursday night, 74-64. Jordan Hawkins, 26 points, career high. His third game this season of at least five three-pointers. Adamus Nogo had 20 as well. Huskies have four straight wins against top 50 competition at KenPom and are ranked fourth at KenPom. It's their best standing in that metric since 2009, Kemba Walker's freshman season. Times are very, very good right now in stores, and that team is looking like the best team. I'm including Creighton in this for now. Looks like the best team in the Big East. And then lastly, Arizona State, 7-1, despite the Bagley noise and unavailability, came back from a 15-point halftime deficit to win at Colorado on a Des Cambridge Jr. three-pointer that he sank on a transition possession with less than 3 seconds to go. ASU's only loss is by 1 point at home to Texas Southern. Big time stuff there. And you know what that means, GP.
What does it mean?
I'm a sun devil. Look at me. I'm a sun devil. I'm a sun devil. Look at
That's not yet on the board. Shouts to Kyle Boone for grabbing that. That will be going onto the board very soon. The sole reason why I introduced an Arizona State score on this show is that I play.
I'm a sun devil. Look at me. I'm a sun devil.
So I perfected an impersonation of a sun devil.
So good.
So now I've expanded my repertoire. I can impersonate peacocks and sun devils.
So good. That's true.
And if Saturday Night Live ever needs somebody who can impersonate peacocks and sun devils, I'm the guy. What if you look at me? What if you're looking at the next Pete Davidson?
Do we want that?
You're not looking at the next Pete Davidson.
For many reasons. Plenty good, by the way. Plenty good.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
You ready to get to the final four and one?
I'm ready. I mean, are you ready, my man?
I'm pulling away this year.
No. I mean, like, is that some hot tea? It feels like you're working through something over there, my buddy.
I am still sick. Might be long COVID. Who could know for sure? No, if I'm being completely honest, I'm sipping on a Coke Zero. It's Coke Zero.
Dude, it's 10:30 in the morning at your time.
You don't drink Coke Zero at 10:30 in the morning? Coke Zero is good at any time.
No.
Is that crazy? I have a cup of coffee and a Coke Zero every morning.
By the way, okay, I'm just saying, we're getting corrected in the comments like crazy, and this is fine. I got people saying, recheck, it's 4,300 plus to Maui. That's what I thought. I went to one of these Google distance calculators. I just read what it told me. I agree. 2,000 miles, that cannot possibly be right. So I think we were right initially. I don't know. For all we know, it's 7,000 to London.
Stop lumping me in with your mileage calculations. I had nothing to do with that. You're the one that had the mileage calculations.
How far is it between free map tools? Terrible. Just terrible. I'll try this again in a second. Nada, what's our standing situation?
Well, GP has a very nice record at 6-9. And then
6-9.
Yeah,
it's nice.
And then Norlander, you're one game ahead at 7-8.
Oh, okay.
Got you right where I want you.
Got you.
Is my record great? No, my record's not great. But at least I'm not Chris Paul this morning, you know?
Sure. I will be picking basketball games, not going there.
Final four in one, game one. It's Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern. Number 6 Baylor versus number 14 Gonzaga inside the January Jones Pentagon. Betting mark 7. Gonzaga minus 2.5. You can watch it on Peacock.
All right.
I knew I got that peacock description.
You might croak if I ask you to do this. So I'm not going to ask you to make a peacock noise on the pot. I don't even know if you can handle it. Let's not push it. Let's not push it.
I haven't done it in a while.
We're not going there. Okay.
It's like asking me to get in a batting cage. I used to do it, but I ain't done it in a while. I think I could do it again, but I need to practice a little bit.
Yeah, you're not there yet.
I knew I had that Peacock subscription for something. Finally, it's paying off tonight.
Okay, so I'm gonna venture a guess that at least 80% of our audience, both live on YouTube.
Hey, YouTube. Hey.
And listening on their phones, watching on video after, did not realize this game is on Peacock, because we're not conditioned to think there's any college basketball games on Peacock. I do not have Peacock. So
I got
if you want to watch this, I don't know if you can go free trial situation, but you're going to give me your login, right? That's what's happening tonight. I don't want to have to download.
Yeah, you got my login. I think at this point you got all my logins. I think you stream more of my stuff than I do.
Not true. The only login I have for you is the Sunday Ticket, which I do still use, and thank you very much.
You're welcome. Anybody listening, if you need my Peacock login, just tweet me.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, why not? Can we do that? Is that can you? All right, that's what I also don't know. Dual login situation. Can you watch this and can I watch this at the same time with the login? I don't know.
Do I look like I do? Just because I can impersonate a peacock doesn't mean I know how Peacock works. I don't know how this stuff works.
Trust me.
I should change my Peacock password to something totally random that is not even close to any of my other actual passwords, and then just give it out to everybody and see what happens.
That might be how you get suspended from Twitter, for all I know.
I'm gonna see if I can log in.
If not, I know
it takes more than that.
Well, these days you never really know.
January Jones, born in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, where this game will be played. Bet you didn't know that.
Well, I did know that because you've mentioned this on the podcast before. You can crowbar in some January Jones references, you're going to take that.
I love January Jones. I love her. She seems fun, you know?
I enjoyed Mad Men. Gonzaga, 5-1 all time against Baylor. The only loss, we both know it. Title game, 2021. These teams are both really good at scoring. I would expect this game to be in the 80s. Baylor's averaging 88 a game. Gonzaga almost 84 a game. By the way, Timmy. Why not? Trivia time.
Okay.
Drew Timmy's at 20 points, 7.4 rebounds, and 3.1 assists per game. There's only one other high major player averaging at least 27-3 this season. Who is it? His team has been mentioned on the podcast today.
Hunter Dickinson.
Incorrect. Let's see if you can get it in three guesses.
Stanford. Just Stanford.
Keep going. is a first team All-American candidate right now.
Chris Murray?
Nope. Give me one more.
I don't know. I can't.
Jalen Wilson. Only three Jalen players in the
Wilson.
Country.
All right. That's right. No, yes, he is. He is. He's been tremendous. Jalen Wilson,
Timmy, and then Jake Stevens of Chattanooga. Only players with at least 27-3 averages at this point in the season. I'll go Gonzaga. You said -2.5. I'll take the Zags to cover. Who you got?
I will also take Gonzaga, my preseason number one. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Gonzaga's not that good this year. Gonzaga stinks. Why do you have Gonzaga still in the top 10? I told you earlier that Purdue has 4 wins over top 35 KenPom teams. Gonzaga has 3, and nobody else has that many. So, like, if you're looking for quality wins right now, Purdue has more than anybody else. Gonzaga has more than anybody except Purdue. Now, some of it is they schedule aggressively, the Zags do, in November, December, because, you know, they don't have to play an ACC schedule or a Big Ten schedule or a Big 12 schedule from January through March. So they have more opportunities at big wins. But, like, y'all got to stop with this whole Gonzaga's not very good thing. And Gonzaga has beaten Xavier, has beaten Kentucky, has beaten Michigan State. And yeah, they've lost to Texas and Purdue, but like Texas, you could reasonably rank right now Texas and Purdue number one and number two in the country. So I'm still, I can acknowledge Gonzaga doesn't look like the great Gonzaga teams we've seen in recent years. Doesn't look like it yet. It may never get there, but like Gonzaga is still one of the 10, 15 best teams in the country. And if we've reached a point with that program where if they're only top 10 or top 15 as opposed to top 5, we say that they stink, that's kind of crazy to me.
Agreed. Looking forward to this one. Looking forward to your login, hopefully working. What's next?
Game 2, Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern, number 16 Illinois at number 22 Maryland, inside Mello Trimble Center. Betting markets have it Maryland minus 1.5. You can watch it on Big Ten Network. I got that channel.
I got that channel. These have been two of the more.
You don't want to get into I got that channel contest with me.
I'm not trying to get into it. I'm just letting people know that I got this channel.
Sounds like you're trying to get into a I got that channel contest with me, and that's not something you want to get into.
I got the damn Pac-12 Network, so I got everything.
I got every other channel. I have every other channel in the world except for the Pac-12 Network.
Illinois beating teams by 24 points on average so far this season. Maryland, 22 points on average. Have been blowing most teams out. Obviously, some of that is by game material, but not everything. Illinois lost 4 straight against the Terps. Is trying to win at Maryland for the first time since 2011. Maryland wasn't even in the Big Ten the last time that happened. It was an ACC Big Ten Challenge game. Illinois, how about this one? Won 10 of its last 13 games on the road in Big Ten. 10-3, last 13 times on the Big Road, in Big Road competition, on the Big Ten competition on the road, and 15 of its last 19. Shouts to Illinois sports information for that stat. That is a good one. Illinois has been reliable road warriors. Terrence Shannon Jr. has been terrific. He's also, in my opinion, you know, in that All-American discussion, first team, second team, wherever you want to put him. 19.9 points, 6.3 rebounds, 3.6 assists. Only one of 7 players in the country averaging at least those minimum thresholds. Big time game in this building. The last time a game was this anticipated in that building, I was there. Leap Day, 2020, Michigan State, Maryland. We had no idea we were on the precipice of a canceled season. I will go. I think Illinois is the better team. Give me a line. I straight up.
I cannot pick against Maryland inside the Mello Trimble Center.
Yes, you can.
I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Not with the ghost of Gravis Vasquez floating around that place. I'm taking Maryland, minus the points.
Is that what's happening inside the Xfinity Center?
Yeah, Gravis. Haunted. The ghost of Gravis. Yeah, it's haunted.
He's still it's haunted alive, by the my ghost man. Of Gravis. Walking amongst us. He's on the terra firma, just so we're clear.
When's the last time you saw it?
I can't say, but I feel confident. I can check a Wikipedia page right now. By the way, I'll save it for the Kentucky. We got Kentucky on this Final Four and one.
Yeah, of course we did.
And that's the next game. I got the distances. I got the real ones. So, Gravis Vasquez.
Game 3 is the ghost of Gravis Vasquez. Game 3, Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern, December 19, Kentucky against Michigan inside Meghan Markle Arena in London. KenPom has a Kentucky minus 9. You can watch it on ABC. I got that channel. I got ABC. Okay.
Couple of things. First of all, no one's boasting about having ABC. This isn't 1958, okay?
I have ABC. I got ABC. You know how much easier it is to have ABC than it is the Pac-12 Network?
All right. Couple of things. First of all, are you old enough on this note?
I'm definitely old enough. I'm too old, actually.
You're old enough that the first TV maybe you can ever remember having was literally the one where you'd go and turn the dial on it. Are you that old?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, for sure. That was, yeah. We got like 19-year-olds listening to this podcast. Could not possibly imagine that to change the, we would have TVs. I'm barely like, 3 years old. I can barely remember this, but you'd go up. Turn the damn knob and a television had 12 stations.
That big, and your television was like a big block. Yep. It was like a big block.
It had the antenna too.
Do you still have any tube televisions in your home?
I'm trying to be a TV, but I think I'm almost a sun devil now.
You think you're a TV, but you're a sun devil. You're trying to be a TV, but you're actually a sun devil.
Oh, man, what a podcast here. Okay. You, my friend, credit here. According to GPS-coordinates.net/distance, 4,868 miles Lexington to Maui. So you were pretty close on the first one. Now let's dial up. Dial up this UK thing. 4,868, because we both thought Maui was longer. And You were both correct. 3,414 miles to London. Calipari was onto something. This is not as long as a trip, which might explain why you said Kentucky is giving nine, according to KenPom.
That's what it says. Kentucky minus nine.
Nine. That is disrespectful. I will take UK to win. I can't. Michigan's going to close inside that number.
I'm with you. Number too big. Too big. It's too big of a number. I think Kentucky wins the game. But, yeah, I think Michigan can keep it within 9 points. Kentucky needs a win over a quality opponent. Right now, 5-2 overall, but 0-2 against teams ranked in the top 100 at KenPom. Lost to Michigan State, Gonzaga. Best wins over Duquesne. So, you're able to beat Michigan. You at least got one nice win on your resume in early December. Jet Howard, by the way. Remember how I tried to tell you he was going to be great? I'm looking at everybody updating their mock drafts. Everybody's over there. I see it. I see everybody updating their mock drafts. And guess who's in all of them now? Jet Howard. Just like I told you he would be. All due respect to the recruiting analysts. I love those guys. But I was like, how is Jet Howard outside of the top 40 in the class of 2022? That seems crazy to me. Now people got him as a projected first-round draft pick. One and done. I discovered Jet Howard. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
I'm taking credit for it. I discovered Jet Howard before Juwan. I'm taking credit for that one.
What if you knew Jet? How wild would that be? I discovered Jet Howard. So at this point in my career, I've been doing this a long time now. I discovered Jet Howard.
Kelly Oubre.
And who else did I discover?
Who is the guy?
Mickey
who was
Mitchell?
Still,
is it Mickey yes, Mitchell?
Mickey Mitchell.
I discovered Mickey Mitchell.
Like 24. Before you
discovered Mickey.
I discovered Mickey Mitchell in like 02. Yeah.
And LaMelo Ball. I discovered LaMelo Ball.
That's, you know what? There is something.
That's actually
kind of
true.
That's kind of true. That is actually kind of true. You're on that train first. What's next?
Game 4, Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern, number 18, North Carolina at Virginia Tech, inside Seth Greenberg Coliseum. Oh. KenPom has it. Seth deserves that.
My man.
You object?
Ew.
Who do you think that Coliseum should be named after, if not Seth Greenberg?
Come on, man. One of the greatest scorers of the past 20 years.
Bimbo Coles?
No. Eric Green. The nation is scoring. Give it to him. Four-year player there. Shouts to Eric Green.
Is he the one that won ACC Player of the Year with like two wins? Virginia Tech's got a guy like that. Like they finished like terribly, and he was like co-ACC Player of the Year. It made no sense.
Dude, you're close to it. I think you're right. 13-19 his senior season and went 4-15 against ACC competition. I think that happened. Yeah, 2012.
And they gave him a co-ACC Player of the Year. That's outrageous.
You know what? Eric Greencourt.
No, it said no. That's outrageous. That guy.
He's I'm giving the court.
Seth Greenberg. Okay, give him the court. Seth Greenberg Coliseum on Eric Greencourt. KenPom has a Virginia Tech minus one. You can watch it on the ACC Network. I got that channel.
Ditto, my man.
Carolina on a three-game losing streak. If Carolina loses this game, they will, the Tar Heels, within a, you know, two-week span, go from number one in the AP poll to unranked in the AP poll, I predict.
You still have this explain yourself. You still have this team ranked. I saw this yesterday. What are you doing?
I have them 25th.
Yeah, get them out of there. What are we doing?
I mean, their losses are...
Yeah, they have been barely... They've eked by mid-major competition, and then they... deservedly got booted by Iowa State. Alabama, they were in it. And then Indiana on the road, I get it. I don't think that team should be in your top 25.
It's totally reasonable opinion. By Sunday night, the Tar Heels will either have a win at Virginia Tech that qualifies as a quality win, or they'll be out of the top 25 and one. I promise you that. Do you see this quote from Hubert Davis after the Indiana game? Interesting quote. I don't know what the question was, because I just read the quote, but I'm assuming the question is something. It might have just been an opening thought, or what was the difference in the game, or something like that. But here's what Hubert reportedly said. according to the Associated Press. He said the difference was Trace Jackson Davis. Indiana has a player that they can run offense through that can generate points on every possession. And as of right now, we don't have that. We don't have that in the post. That's an interesting thing to say when you got a preseason first team All-American in the post.
That is.
Now, it could be in reference, just to be completely fair, in reference to Armando Bacot is banged up, like had an ankle thing and then a shoulder thing. And maybe that's what he meant. Like, we don't have that in the post right now because we're not healthy. I'm just giving the benefit of the doubt, or I'm just offering that up as a possibility. But like, Bacot played in that game and got outplayed pretty convincingly by Trace Jackson Davis. I don't know. The quote stood out to me. Trace Jackson Davis is the difference. Indiana has a player that can run offense through that can generate points on every possession. And as of right now, we don't have that. We don't have that in the post.
Yeah, we'll talk heels win or lose Sunday because of this game. And we'll see how effective Bacot can be. It's not just him, for sure. I still think they need to play through RJ Davis more than they are, but we'll see. Virginia Tech is 7-1. Only loss is a road loss by 2 at a decent mid-major team in Charleston. Only has played one top 100 team, and that's a win. They beat Penn State, but you know, Virginia Tech's a made bucket away from being undefeated at home. I gotta take the Hokies here, man. Mike Young, very good coach, good offensive team. Carolina can win the game, but in this spot, with all I've seen, it's now reached a spot where I'm like, all right, I can't pick UNC. You need to show me you are capable of doing this. We have not seen this yet this season. Literally, have not seen it yet this season. And until I see it, I'm not going to go with the heels in this kind of situation. Virginia Tech to win.
I'm not going to turn my back on Leaky Black. I'm not going to turn my back on Leaky Black.
It's that picking the Hokies doesn't mean I'm not turning my back on you. Just letting you know.
You're turning your back on Leaky Black. That's not something I'm comfortable doing. Okay. Couple things I'm not comfortable doing. Picking against Grady Dick as an underdog and turning my back on Leaky Black. So I will insist that the Tar Heels go to Seth Greenberg Coliseum on Eric Green Court. And I guess technically this would be true. Upset Virginia Tech on Sunday.
It's true. True.
You got game 5. Offer it up.
I will. Just a couple notes before we get to game 5. Just a few other ones. Saturday, obviously a lot with the college football conference title games, most of which don't really even carry a lot of weight. 3 games to know about. First is a CBS game. Oklahoma at Villanova. And how about this quote here? Kyle Neptune, earlier on Friday, shouts to Jeff Newberg. I'm saying your last name right, Jeff. Is a Philly Inquirer reporter. Villanova coach Kyle Neptune says Cam Whitmore is a game-time decision tomorrow versus Oklahoma and has been for the last few games. And then he was asked if there's a chance he plays tomorrow. Quote, definitely, there's been a chance for the last week, too. Newberg continues, when Whitmore returns, he will not be a full go. His minutes count is obviously to be determined. But that would certainly be an interesting development. Villanova it needs to win this game to have almost any chance at an at-large case down the way. It's obviously just battling uphill at this point. Nova is 2-5. This is a Wells Fargo situation against a good Oklahoma team, an Oklahoma team that's 6-1. Its only loss is to Sam Houston State. So Sam Houston State has been able to take out Utah and Oklahoma in road situations there. Just keep an eye. CBS, 12:30, America's Most Watched Network.
Network of stars.
Given the urgency of that Villanova game, and I'd love to see Cam Whitmore get out there, even if it's for 10 minutes. So keep an eye. Big Ten Network, 4 Eastern. You'll have Indiana at Rutgers. Good game. See how the Hoosiers respond. Go on the road. Jersey Mike's Arena at the Rack, of course. And then 4:30 Eastern on FS1 is Wisconsin at Marquette. Marquette's at home again, coming off the huge Baylor win. A very good annual, once-a-year rivalry, intrastate rivalry between interconference opponents. Like to see that. So three Saturday ones we're checking in on. And then on Sunday, the only two that we haven't got to are St. John's is going to play at Iowa State, 3 o'clock, ESPN 2. It's just the first real test for St. John's, which is undefeated. Wouldn't expect him to come out of there with a win, but not unthinkable. And then there's actually a quality, you know, like to give a little mid-major love here on the pod every now and again. 8:30 Sunday night. Hell, we'll probably be podcasting when this game's happening. But 6-0 Utah State is playing against 7-1 San Fran. So a nice mid-major matchup between those teams. My game is going to be a Saturday matchup. And it's going to involve West Virginia going to play on 2 Holloway Court, my man. Mm, 2 Holloway
zip Court. Zip them up.
West Virginia at Xavier. It's a 6:30 p.m. Eastern tip on Saturday on Fox Sports 1 on 2 Holloway Court. West Virginia, 6-1, only lost to Purdue at PK85. Xavier at this point, 5-3, has played 4 power conference teams, is 1-3 in those spots, has a win over Florida, has lost at home and by 2 points to Indiana, and then was competitive in both games against Duke and Gonzaga in Portland. I had a story go up on Wednesday. I was with Sean Miller as the team prepared to play Duke. So if you have not read it, please do read it. We'll drop a link to it.
You better carve out 23 minutes. You better have 23 minutes of spare time.
The time algorithm for reading is inflated. So it's really like a 16, 17 minute read, I'll just say. Unless you're really moving at a snail's pace there, it will not take you that long. But yeah, it's half the story is about preparing for Duke and locker room scenes and all that stuff. And the other half is the Sean Miller angle on it and, you know, what he did in his year away. And I will say, I was the one that pitched this. I asked Sean 2 months ago, and he said he'd most likely be willing to do it. I asked him again at Big East Media Day, said yes. So credit to him for allowing this. It was unthinkable that Sean Miller would allow this kind of all-access thing as recently as 2 seasons ago. So a credit to him for doing that. And certainly, you know, they're not a perfect team right now. And I think it would have been easy for other coaches in that position just to say, not yet, not quite ready. But he took a chance. And I also, to be transparent on this, and I tried to guard against writing about this too much. Like, he knows he needs this kind of thing to help repair some of his reputation. Because, I mean, even I had a coach call me Wednesday night just to talk about the story. And the coach said, you know, I've been in the same room with Sean a couple times. I find him to be one of the most interesting guys in our profession because, you know, he's got some guys who, like, respect him as a coach and consider him, like, you know, one of the top 10 coaches just purely on the whiteboard and X and O and all that stuff. But then there are coaches that, you know, ever since the FBI stuff came out, like he has, you know, alienated himself from a certain segment of the profession. And so this coach was just saying, like, I'm just super fascinated. I don't know him that well. I've actually wanted to get to know him. And, you know, the story really shed a light on that. And it is interesting. I do think Parrish, he actually has changed a certain degree, which is evidenced by even, again, allowing the story to begin with. And I thought the biggest thing was, and I didn't know if he was going to go there. I didn't ask about Arizona specifically. He went there and said, I have no bitterness toward Arizona whatsoever. All 3 of my sons have either graduated or are graduating from that university. We had nothing but support forever there. And I think it was tough for him to accept the firing as he knew it was coming down the pike. But once it finally happened and his wife told me, like, once it was done and he was fired, like, he needed to break away. And he did nothing for like 2 months of the, you know, that April and May of 21. It was just, you know, it was an interesting up close look. I think Xavier will make the tournament this season. It's got defensive issues. I'll pick the game here in just a second. But anyway, any thoughts on any of that?
Yeah, I will say I'm glad that Sean let you do that because I know, like, he took a beating from basically everybody, right? I mean, most of us have said things that I'm certain Sean either just doesn't like, period, or doesn't agree with. And I know that he went through a time, as it is completely understood, where it was like, it's me against the world, and media types that I know he had, you know, relatively good relationships with kind of just disappeared. Like, it was just like, you know, I talked to somebody, hey, have you talked to Sean lately? Nah, he's not taking my calls. I saw somebody, I didn't see this with my own eyes, so I should rephrase, but I heard, you know, after all the FBI stuff came out and it was, you know, he went, I mean, he was, it got, if you remember in real time, it was like, he's not going to survive this. Like it's over for him. And then he like kept coaching. And, yeah. And so I was told a media person who has a good, had a good, and perhaps has a good one now, approached him like at some grassroots event and was like, Hey, good to see you. Or hey, and Sean just like blew them off completely. Like, hey man, I don't want to talk to you. Like I heard what you said, or I saw what you wrote. I don't want to talk to you. And I guess that's normal to, like, nobody likes to be criticized and nobody likes to be called a cheater. And Sean dealt with all of that stuff. And if his position on that has softened a bit to the point where he's like, listen, I'm not mad at anybody anymore. I'm not upset with Arizona. I'm not bitter. I think that's a great place to be, because walking around every day in life, this is something I've learned as I've gotten older, with resentment or bitterness toward people who have either done you wrong or you think did you wrong. It's just, it wears you out more than it hurts anybody else, carrying that stuff around with you all the time. Like, I can genuinely say, at this point in my life, and I've been here for a few years, but I don't carry any resentment, bitterness toward anybody. Like literally anybody. You either matter to me in a good way or you don't matter to me at all. But like, I don't walk around consumed with, I can't stand that person. That person did this. I can't believe the person did that. You just let it all go. And if Sean has come closer to reaching that point, and it sounds like he has, I think that's a really great place to be, because it's just a healthier place to be, and and it's an easier way to live.
Agreed. And yeah, I talked with his wife Amy for a while, and some of her quotes were in there, and even some stuff that didn't make it. Like, you know, her and Sean both very, very quick to acknowledge and recognize that, you know, 10 people were charged in that FBI case and people had to spend time in prison. And I didn't talk to Sean on record or off record about Book Richardson, because he's just not allowed to talk about that stuff yet. And once the stuff happened, I actually think the Arizona IARP result, I think it's coming this month. And that's based off of previous sources telling me that over the summer, like the expectation is it would be here before December gets out. We'll see if that winds up being the case or if it's January. But once it does come out, like, he'll have an opportunity to speak to some of it, if not all of it. It'll be up to him to how much he really wants to dive back into that. But yeah, it was, I think this was good for him. And he's clearly thought through a lot of this stuff. And it also applies to on the court. You know, he's running not a completely different offense, but he was happy for Arizona and Tommy Lloyd, his wife. Yes. Said like, first couple of games obviously it was tough, but like, he, once they got going and he was like studying their stuff, like, happy for them, which is, yeah, very healthy.
I hope we're not telling secrets here. I don't think Tommy would mind us saying this, but there was one night after Tommy got the Arizona job where me and I think it was me, you and him, ended up, yeah, you know, just getting a late bite to eat or whatever, and Tommy was like, Sean's been great. Like, I think he told a story of like, he went and picked Sean up and they went and like, you know, spent real time together. And so you never know how that's going to be. You know, you're the head coach here, and then that you get pushed out and they hire, you know, somebody else, and but you're still living in this place, and you just want to, are you just mad at the world and rooting for failure? Or do you let it go and try to be helpful in whatever way you can be helpful? And for whatever it's worth, and I actually think it's worth something and says something about Sean. Tommy said that, you know, he did reach out to Sean and tried to, you know, just, hey, you've had this job. What do I need to know? And he said, I just remember that. He said, Sean has been great. And I think that speaks well of Sean.
Agreed. So if you haven't read the story, there's plenty more in there. I do encourage you to do so. The game five is West Virginia at Xavier. But speaking of not letting go of stuff, West Virginia coach is Bob Huggins. And I did love this tongue-in-cheek quote. Maybe tongue not firmly planted in cheek. He was asked about playing Xavier again. obviously dating back to his days running the Cincinnati program. That's one of the better rivalries in the sport. He said, I don't have any good thoughts on Xavier whatsoever. Hell yeah. Bring me all of that energy on Saturday. Couldn't love it anymore. GP.
It is funny. Like the Cincinnati Xavier thing, regardless of who the coaches are, like they really don't like each. There's like real, like there are great rivalries in sports and college athletics, but like, you know, the coaches don't always hate each other. And the coach maybe not hate each other, but hate the other program. I don't know that Lane Kiffin hates Mississippi State University. You know, he just happens to coach at Ole Miss, and then there's another school in the SEC in the state and whatever. But you know, Huggs clearly doesn't like Xavier as an institution. And I remember this a long time ago when Mick Cronin was still the head coach at Cincinnati. And I guess Sean was probably at Xavier at this time, if it lines up. I just remember I was in Cincinnati for something. I don't know. And I went to a Cincinnati practice. And Mick was like, and after the practice, Mick, I mean, we're just talking. And Mick's like, so where are you? Where are you going next? Like, what's next on your agenda? I said, well, I think I'm going to go over to Xavier tomorrow. And he was like, oh, you should. They're going to be good. I hate them, but they're going to be good. And I think this is when Sean was still the head coach and Chris Mack was on his staff as assistant coach. Back then. I just remember Mick saying, oh, you should go see them. They're going to be really good. I hate them, but they're going to be really good. So you obviously got the fight and the zip them up thing. There's a lot of stuff connected to Xavier Cincinnati and Huggs being back in Cincinnati playing against Xavier. That's good. I'm glad you picked that game. Good.
This is Big 12, Big East battle, as we mentioned earlier on the podcast. So Xavier's got this game, a week off, and then Cincinnati. I would imagine it's actually going to be this game, player finals, and then Cincinnati. So for the guys on the roster, it's actually a pretty big week, probably a pretty loaded week overall. I would advise Xavier to minimally go 1-1 in the next two. It's going to be at Cincinnati. This one's at home. Otherwise, it's not that it won't make the tournament. It's just you need another quality win non-conference to help yourself so that if you take some losses in Big East play, you can build up enough of a resume here. It's Xavier GP -2 versus the Mountaineers. Who are you going to take?
I'm going to take Xavier inside Cintas Center. Okay. I think they are comparable teams. I think they're comparable teams. Although I do have West Virginia 26 in the top 25-1 right now. But I think they're comparable teams. And when you got comparable teams in a small number, I'll just take the home team.
I will go with you on this because they certainly, Xavier has the offense to do it. They almost beat Indiana at home at CentOS. So I will take X to get a big win here. And in doing so, help its overall standing. And don't know if that'll be good enough to get them into a top 25 situation. Probably not just yet, but there's real good potential for that one. And I'm eager to see how the fans there greet Bob Huggins when he walks back into that building. I don't have the data in front of me. I assume the last time he was coaching at Cincinnati. Let me bring up Huggins real quick for you here, GP, because actually, how long has it been since he walked into this? So Huggins was 05. So if let's see when they played him that year, that was a home game. Wow, here's how this has changed, though. Just brought up the schedule. His last season, 04-05, this game was, I wish this was the deal now. It's just not going to be with league schedules and TV stuff. This game was in the middle of February, GP, in 05. That's awesome. That is a great way to break up the league schedule. Last time that Huggins was at Cincinnati, he played Xavier, February 10th. But the last time that he actually played, walked into the building was February 3rd, 2004. He lost 71-69 that year. Cincinnati was actually damn good. They were both good teams that season. Xavier was 26-11 under Thad Matta. So it's been 16 years since he last walked into CentOS, I would assume. Looking forward to watching that one on Saturday night.
You ready to get out of here? Get on with our days?
Let's go.
Go ahead and make sure we're logged in to Peacock.
I'm going to be, yes, you're going to need it. First, you need to text me your login.
Yep, I'm going to text it to everybody.
You might need to change your password.
Yep.
Text me the password.
Right.
And then tonight at like 7:30, you tweet out your password.
To the whole world.
Yep.
Let's break Peacock.
Let's do it.
What Taylor Swift is to Ticketmaster, I am to Peacock.
Peacock drop on the board too.
I'm a Sun Devil.
I don't have it anymore. Devil. It will be going on the board. It will be going on the board.
Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Larnell and Huck. Thank you guys once again. Listen to the Island College Basketball Podcast. If you're not subscribed, please go subscribe anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. 5 stars, nice review. Write some words. There's more of us than there are of them. If you're not subscribed to the YouTube channel, please do that. Smash the like button before you get out of here. And we're going to talk to you again on Sunday night. Till then, take care.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sanfel, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.